Morning, everybody. My name is Jeremy. I'm the pastor here, and I'm about 75% with you. The other 25% of me is in bed. I'm just getting over some kind of junk that I know so many of us are getting over right now. So forgive my voice, but very happy to be with you. And I mean, honestly, was just sitting there thinking, if what Robin said is true, and it is, that there are so many people around the world that can't hear this message, that can't hear that what we need, what our souls are thirsting for more than anything, more than the deer pants for water, my soul thirsts for you. And God is here, and God is near, and God is available to you this morning. And there are so many that can't hear that, and it breaks my heart. So here's where we're going to go this morning. We're starting a new series. And in order to start that new series, I'm going to tell you a story. Kids, I know you're in the room, this morning too. Welcome. We'll start Kid Town again next week in full force. But thankful that you're here with us again. You are a part of this worshiping body. And we value your presence here. So, kids, if you're paying attention, I want you to pay attention to one thing. You ready? It's a lawnmower crash. Whoa, they said. A lawnmower crash. And one more thing, a thank you. Okay? Pay attention to those two things, and you'll understand everything I'm about to say. And actually, here comes the lawnmower crash. For us to get our minds into what's happening in this book in 1 Corinthians, let me tell you about my lawnmower. This is my lawnmower. Well, I should say it used to be my lawnmower. This was my dad's lawnmower before it was mine. It was passed down through the generations. It was faithful through years of service, both in Georgia and in Florida, through the searing heat, through the rain. It was a wonderful mower. Before we moved up here, it finally bit the dust, and I was trying to sell it for parts. And so I put on Facebook Marketplace, there's a Murray mower, it's available for parts, it doesn't work, but available to you. And I mean, multiple people within 10 minutes were hitting me up for it. I didn't pay attention because that's what seems to happen in my life. It was a Saturday, things got busy. Very quickly, I had like 5 messages, and a guy was like, can we meet? Can we meet at 2 o'clock right up the road from you at the Publix? I said, yes, great. I tend to do things quickly and unthinkingly. So I borrowed a neighbor's 4x6 trailer, which is like half the size of this stage. It's very small. And I loaded very quickly the mower onto that trailer. The trailer didn't have a back. And so I very quickly load it onto this trailer, and I ratchet strap it across the seat, left to right, good to go. You may know where this is going. So very quickly, I'm like, it's like 2:02, I'm supposed to be there at 2 o'clock, so I zoom out of my neighborhood, I take a left, and on our street that was outside of our neighborhood, it was a 2-lane going either way with a median in the middle, the big curb thing with the grass. I take a left. I'm going about 30 miles per hour. And as I get going up to speed, coming this way towards the Publix, to my side view mirror, I see something going that's red and going about 20 miles per hour to the left side of me. I very quickly realize it's my lawnmower. It is going, veering 20 miles per hour straight into the median. It hits the median. It flips over the median onto oncoming lanes of traffic, splats onto the oncoming lanes of traffic, and slides onto the shoulder. And I did what anyone who's in a rush would do. I kept going. I didn't want to leave the guy hanging. And so I get over to the Publix in the gas station parking lot. I see this guy. He's ready to go. And I say, hey, you may realize that there's not a mower on the back of that trailer anymore. I guarantee I started this journey with a mower on the back, and I have ended this journey without one. It's back there on the side of the road, on its side in a million pieces. Do you still want it? And to my surprise, he said, yeah. And he said, let me go help you. So we both go back, and he helps me scrape this thing off of the pavement. Oil spills all around. Thankfully, nobody has come the other direction, and it had slid into the shoulder, and so it was out of people's way. I'm not a monster. And so we go put it back onto his trailer, and before he leaves, I'm like, listen, please, just take it. Like, I've ruined, I think I was trying to sell it for like $75 or something. I was like, just take the mower. Like, you did all the work. You've already put the sweat equity into the mower. And he goes, no. And he pulls out his wallet, and he filters through, and he finds what he can inside his wallet, and he gives me like $40. And I was like, you're the best. And then off he drove. I had no more problem. I had no more mower. I had money in my pocket. I had room in the garage. Everything was smiling and sunshiny that day. That's grace. First Corinthians is a book written to a church whose lawnmowers were flying off their trailers. It is written to a book, it's a book written to a people who are just in chaos. This is a church that is near and dear to Paul's heart, a church that he loved, a church that he planted, a church that he had spent a year and a half laboring among them, and then he had gone away, and he started to hear things that were going on in that church. Things like indecency among and within families, marriages that were falling apart at the seams, cliques that were forming within the church like in middle school. Ugh. People that were getting dead drunk at the communion table and passing out in the aisleways. Like, crazy things. Now, if you and I were to write a letter to a church like that, or maybe you've had an opportunity to have a friend or a family member like that, how would you think that you would go about approaching them? How do we naturally think that Paul would begin a letter like 1 Corinthians, knowing that that's what's happening in the background? You and I naturally come to church every week, and we naturally come to God every day, believing that his word to us primarily is get it together. That is what bubbles up naturally out of our hearts. Get it together. I want you to listen to the first words that Paul preaches to a church that he loves, to a church that he labored among, to a church that in many ways had betrayed his teaching, betrayed his trust, and was going the complete opposite direction of the gospel. These are his words to them. These are his words to us, church. Olivia, will you come and read? Olivia Terrell, everybody. After Olivia's done, I'm going to sit over there for about 30 seconds, and let's just take a breath.
Okay, a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God.
So if you're new with us, there's a reason that we pause for a minute before we receive anything from the Lord. Because naturally there's going to be all kinds of blocks between us and him. There's going to be all kinds of walls that we're going to put up, all kinds of stress that we're bringing in, all kinds of worries that we bring to the table, all kinds of things, guilt, that things that we have just done outside these walls that we are bringing inside of these walls. The Lord does not want you to leave those at the door, as it were. That's actually the reason you're here. Bring those things in to this room. Bring those failures into this room. Bring those places of shame and guilt into this room. And everybody, let's just do this collectively. Just take one big breath. Ready? One, two, three. And let's ready our hearts for a better word. Ready? Let's do it. Did you hear it? Verse 3. Of anything Paul could have said as he began, he says these words, grace to God. That's his lead, not get it together. Grace to you. We've been spending this entire year really focusing on this idea of discipleship. How do we grow as believers? How do we grow as people that believe this good news that we're just reading about here? How do we do that? Those three words, grace to you. If you want to know how to grow, if you want to know what it is to carry on in the Christian life, it is from grace to grace. So that's what this entire semester is going to be about, and we're going to pick it apart in all kinds of little ways. But today is just the big, overarching picture of how do we understand this grace. So we're going to break it down like this. These three words is what this sermon is about. Grace to you. Point one, grace. Just in case you forget. Okay, well, forget all the churchy baggage for a minute. Forget what you may think this word means. Literally, in the original context, in the original Greek that's written here, Paul is plucking this word out of a place where it was already utilized. We've had 2,000 years of this word being utilized in certain ways that have brought on its own baggage. Here is, by nature, what this word means. To be glad by gifts. By nature, grace is a gift. Kids, what's the best gift you've ever gotten? Yell it out. Best gift. Anybody? Solid skateboard. Yep. Nailed it. Anything else? Yep. There it is. Good. Now we got it. Okay. Here's one of my best gifts. I got my first mountain bike when I was like 12. I was so excited about this mountain bike. Raleigh M80 front suspension. It was blue and black and looked amazing. Had these knobby wheels and these awesome handlebars. I was ready for anything. I could take on any mountain. It was 30 degrees. I had no shirt and shorts on. And I saw that bike on Christmas morning and I was gone. Yes. Right? That's a gift. A gift, by definition, is something that I can't pay for, that I didn't earn. Sorry, Santa. And it makes me happy. I didn't pay for it. I didn't earn it. And it makes me happy. That's a gift. Do you, let me say them again. Think about God. You don't pay for it. You didn't earn it. It makes you happy. Is that your experience with God? If not, why not? Let's keep going. Okay, so grace, by definition, is a gift. We see this in verse 4. Can we pop the slide back up there with the purple on it? Okay. You see up there at the top, I give thanks to my God always because of the grace of God that was what? That was given to you. So by nature, by definition, grace is given. It is a gift. Now, we can think of that like this. What's this? It's a present. You're going to find out later what's in it. This is a gift. Okay? You can think of grace like the wrapping of the gift. What's the contents? What's inside? By grace, through faith, we just read in Ephesians 2 last week, you have been saved. What's the contents inside the vehicle of grace? Look at verse 9 with the purple and the white. God is faithful, by whom you were called into what? Say the word. The fellowship. Say it again. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Another word for grace is favor. Smile. Delight. What does this mean? It's saying that by definition, relationship with God is a gift. It is one directional. It is all from him. It is nothing that you can buy. It is nothing that you can earn. And it makes you happy. At least that's the goal. Paul is saying that the creator of the universe, the creator of all the desires inside of your heart, the creator and holder together of all things with nothing but a word, he is one who is saying, I want to be your friend. I want to walk beside you every day of your life. I smile when I think about you. I want to fight when enemies assail you. I want to hold you when you're sad. I want to provide for your every need, and I want to give you the full, happy, blessed life that you were born for. And how do we get it? Here you go. Do you believe that? Is that easy? Come on. Nothing's that easy. Nothing's that simple. Because what we believe, what I think, is that what God really thinks about me? No, that's those like super churchy people. That's those pastors who can like really preach. That's those elders who are like really holy. That's those like Mother Teresa's who really serve, who just give it all for Jesus. I'm not one of those. I'm just trying to get to tomorrow with not a zero in my bank account. And without too much guilt over things I did the day before. But is there a fuller life that's possible for us? Yes, by grace. Okay, second word, two. Grace, two. Again, this is one directional. From God to you. But if God's really God, you and I imagine, think, at least this is how my mind goes, if God's really God, then he sees all of me. If he's a creator and sustainer of all, and he is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, then he sees not only in me, but through me. He sees not only my past, but my present. He sees my future. He knows everything about me, and I know everything about me, at least I think I do. And I know all the reasons. I know all the secrets. I know all the shame. I know all the failures. I know all the places where I should do certain things that this book says I should do, and I don't do them. What do I do with that? Because if that's who God is and that's who I am and he's pure and perfect and holy, then he should have nothing to do with me. That's what you and I think. Yes. That's why the grace goes this way and not this way. Because remember, a gift you can't pay for, you don't earn, and it makes you happy. For instance, what if, going back to Christmas morning, I got my bike. What if I were to say, "Pardon me, Mother, this is a wonderful bicycle you've given me this day. Pray tell, will you tell me where you purchased this fine bicycle? Because I would also like to know, was there a price tag on that bicycle? How much did that say that it was worth? I would like to pay you for this bicycle, this fine bicycle. How much was it?" What would you say if you were the parent? What are you talking? It was more than that, kid. What would you say? No, that's weird. It's a gift. It's from me to you. You're supposed to enjoy it. That's the whole point. And by the way, I didn't have enough money to buy it anyways because I was 12. You didn't earn it. You don't pay for it. It makes you happy. It is to you. But receiving is so hard to do, isn't it? Right? We are born with this works-based operating system in our heads. And it's like MS-DOS. Anybody remember MS-DOS? Remember, like, where you got to put the, like, I don't even remember, the little prompts with the little blinky cursor thing to make the computer do what you want to do? It was the worst. :// whatever that thing was. The floppy disks you had to put in the thing. Outdated. Old news. The works-based operating system that we are born with, that we think, I must do X to get Y. We said it last week. That's what each of us are born believing. And it is the very opposite of the way that God deals with us. It's like trying to airdrop something to an MS-DOS computer. It's incompatible. Or kids, it's like trying to put a PlayStation 5 game into a Super Nintendo. It doesn't work. It's not compatible. It doesn't compute. That's what grace is in our heads. That's what grace is in our hearts. Naturally, we come up with all the reasons you shouldn't love me, all the reasons you shouldn't do for me, all the reasons I should be better. But I know I'm not. But I'm just going to wait a little longer until I can. This kept me out of the church for a long time. People outside of the church, one of which was me, are cynical because we believed that to get on the inside of this thing, I've got to clean myself up enough. I've got to follow all the rules so that I can get into the club. Because every other club, you follow the rules, you stay in the club. Even Planet Fitness, it says there are no judgment zone. You still got to pay that money. You don't judge me, then let me walk in there for free. Every gold star, every grade that you get, Everything in your retirement account, every bonus you get is all based on what? Merit. I do this, I get this. This is the one and only but most important thing that you don't have to work a day in your life for. Amen. And if that's true, and that's relationship with the God of the universe, then everything starts to have a completely different lens to it. That's where we're going. We don't have time to get there now. That's what this whole series is going to be about. Okay, let's move on. Okay, last word. Ready? You. Yeah, to you. Grace to you. I'm going to give this gift to the first person, first child. Don't get up, I'll come to you. To the first child that can tell me what my first word was. What was my first word as a baby? What was it? It wasn't you. I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It's what you say when you receive a gift.
Dada.
What?
Dada.
Oh, not dada. Ooh, really close. Really close.
Thank you.
Thank you. He got it. What you get when you receive a gift, what you say when you receive a gift is? Is thank you. Technically, it was dadu. That's why you were close. Yep, not dada, dadu. Very close. Thank you. That's what you get when you receive a gift. There you go. That's for you. Okay. If this is a gift to you, then what's your response? This is where we get it messed up. We think that the you comes first. We think that the, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this, and then I will get this from God. I'm going to do this, and I will get favor from God. What we believed outside the church was we're cynical because we thought that you had to be good enough to get in. Here's what happens now that I'm inside the church. Now I just feel miserable that I'm inside the church, and I know all the things I still should be doing, and I still find that I don't do them. Is that where you find yourself this morning? What a miserable way to live. That is living. Yes, you may be in the church in terms of your salvation. You may be a Christian. But there is a whole dance that you are yet to experience. There is a whole feast that you have yet to taste. And it is this feast, yes, you have yet to taste. And it is this feast of grace. Everything in life starts to look a little different when we believe that all of life is gift. When you say, what was my first word? Thank you. Right? What is an appropriate response to getting a gift? Thank you. Thank you. And we're just going to have conversations. That's great. Yeah. The proper reception of a gift is just to say thank you. What does saying thank you do? It does three things, at least. One, it recognizes your need. By saying thank you, you're saying, yes, I receive what you're giving me. I don't have what you have, and I want what you have. It recognizes the need. Two, it recognizes the gift. I see this gift. I want this gift. I will take this gift. Third, it recognizes the giver. It acknowledges, I see you, and I see that you see me. Thank you. What is our response to the beginning of a book and the beginning of a potentially a new way to live this morning? Where the word over your heart and the word over your life is grace. Three things. You recognize the need every day, all the time. It's a constant recognition. Part of the thank you of receiving his grace is by saying, yes, I need it. I see how far I fall short. I see what the gap is between my life and what you call me to. But that gap isn't the reason that keeps me from you. That's actually the reason that you had to come to me. It recognizes the need. Second, it recognizes the gift. Because gifts are costly, it just doesn't cost you anything. What did it cost God for the word over our entire life to be grace? It cost him everything. It cost him, imagine as a father giving over your son and watching him die. How costly is that? You're recognizing your need and you're recognizing the gift. I needed that. I needed Jesus to die because that would have been my penalty. I need Jesus' perfect record of righteousness because my record is so tarnished and screwed up. It recognizes my need and it recognizes the gift. And thirdly, it recognizes the giver and says, yes, more, more. God, I see because this is the gift you've given me, I see your love. I see your smile. I see your joy. I see your yes and your amen. I see the twinkle in your eyes when my name comes onto your mind. Recognize the giver. So back to the lawnmower. There it is. We're going to close here. How does grace begin to change you then? Again, we're going to investigate this the entire next few months as we journey through 1 Corinthians. But just a little teaser as we begin. Grace begins to change you when you respond to the great grace that's been given to you. When your lawnmower has completely flown off of your trailer, has flipped over a median two times, smashed into oncoming traffic, and is a pile on the ground. When that's what your heart feels like tomorrow morning, when that's what your life looks like, when that's what your sense of guilt and shame, the weight on your shoulders looks like, then Jesus drives up in his pickup truck and hauls all of that onto his strong F-350 or Chevy 35,000 diesel or whatever and pulls that junk as far as the east is from the west. Gone. The way that we begin to live by grace is by living in that constant state of need, of gift, and of reception to the giver. There was a, when we first, this is what your church thinks about as the most important thing that your pastor needs as I walk out of my door every morning. And if this is true for me, it is very much true for all of us. Polly Weir, our Kidtown elementary coordinator, that she painted when we first accepted this job. She painted this little like 4x4 square. It's blue and has black letters and it says in beautiful handwriting. Have you ever seen Polly's handwriting? It's amazing. It says, all is grace. That's what's on my door as I walk out every morning. And because of Jesus and your reception of that gift this morning, that can be over your door and that can be over your heart and it can completely change the way that you walk out. Full acceptance, full love, full freedom. And we'll continue to walk together and see all the ways that that begins to change us. Let's pray. So Father, we pray that you would help us to believe this because we just don't. We don't believe this good news. We would rather look at all of the news inside of our own hearts, the news feed of our internal dialogue and our internal thoughts and our internal images and our internal realizations of things that we have done in the past and probably will do in the future. And we think of all the reasons why you should want to have nothing to do with us, why we don't even want to have anything to do with us, why nobody else should ever know the real us or they would reject us. And to all of that, and over all of that, you say, grace, my child. come to me. And so would we come and rest upon your breast, safe and secure, like a weaned child. Would we rest now as we continue this service in your name? Amen.